Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to APL Apollo Tubes earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Lahoti, Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Avirat. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of APL Apollo and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Mr. Sanjay Gupta, Chairman and MD, Deepak Goyal, Director Operations, Anubhav Gupta, Chief Strategy Officer, and Chetan Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you.
Thanks, Amit. MK Global for hosting APL Apollo for its quarter 1 FY26 earnings call. I welcome all the participants and thanks to all the participants for dropping by. One performance for APL Apollo Tubes was definitely below our expectations. The sales volume should have been higher by at least 5%, but there were various reasons why we could not achieve the target set by ourselves. Number one reason is the continued slowdown in the macro environment, which is evident from the weak industrial production data from the government side. As we know that for April and May, the IIP growth was mere 2 to 3%, the expectations for quarter 1 FY26 GDP growth is also a bit on softer side. Reason number two, which resulted in loss of volume, was the elevated geopolitical tensions, which hit our volumes in two ways. Number one, India-Pakistan war, which impacted northern state volumes for almost 1 week, and then in the last 20 days of July, the Middle Eastern war between Israel and Iran. It led to lower volumes in the Middle Eastern market, and it hit our export volumes also from Indian mills. Third reason is the early onset of monsoon, wherein the construction activity got halted, whether it were ongoing projects or the commencement of new projects. Everything gets slowed down because no one was expecting that the monsoon should start or would hit the country within June month itself. And lastly, what we are witnessing is the softer money supply in the system, which is leading to the reduction in the buying power of our dealers and the stockists, because their money is also stuck with the agencies and EPC contractors who are working on the government projects. So what we are seeing is that the buying power of our channel partners has gone down a bit. Coming to the EBITDA spreads for the quarter one, of course they are up YOY significantly, but on QOQ basis they are down by like 250 rupees a ton. And the reason for that is, of course, lower volume, which led to negative operating leverage, and 100 rupees per ton is impact from the one-time notional expense led to ESOP, which increased our employee cost. Coming to the ongoing quarter, things remain sluggish as compared to quarter one, but we do believe that the second half of FY26 should be pretty promising. By that time, the monsoons will get over, and the government spends would also turn into the actual money supply into the system, which will increase the buying power of our channel partners. At the start of the year, during Q4 FY25 earnings call, we had guided for 15 to 20% volume growth for FY26. However, we believe this is slightly unlikely given the softer start to the first half. So we believe that the sales volume for full year should increase between 10 to 15%, assuming the macro environment does not worsen from the current levels. As you know that APL Apollo started its brand premium strategy in January of 2025, wherein we are focusing on maintaining EBITDA spreads. So what we believe is that once the demand environment comes back or it recovers, APL Apollo is ready with its capacity, its product line, its distribution network, its brand pool. So volumes will come on its own. There is no point chasing volume at the cost of EBITDA spreads. So so that's why we are not into the push strategy as of now. We are our focus is to continue to generate higher EBITDA spreads and elevate our APL Apollo brand in the customer's mind. And thankfully, we are pretty successful. Now it's been 7 months. We started this, we implemented this strategy, and it is going fine so far. For the full year, we are hopeful, we are confident that EBITDA spreads should be between 4,600 to 5,000 rupees per ton, which is significantly higher than FY25 EBITDA spreads of below 4,000 rupees a ton. Now, in the midst of this economic slowdown, we continue to focus on our long-term capacity expansion plans and fill in the gaps where we believe that we can take our capacity from 4.5 million ton to 7 million ton in the next 2 to 3 years. So there are like four areas where we are working. Number one is expansion in the newer markets, which are Eastern India and Dubai market. So in Eastern India, we are putting up two plants with capacity of 500,000 tons. In Dubai, we are expanding capacity by further 200,000 tons. In South India also, we are coming up with 400,000 ton of newer plant where existing products are fully utilized the capacity. Then second area we are focusing on is the expansion of new products, wherein we are adding 500,000 ton of coated capacity and 100,000 ton of heavy structural tubes. The third area which we are focusing is on export sales from Indian mills. So that's why we are planning to set up a plant in Bhuj, Gujarat area. And the plant will be majorly focused towards export sales, and then it will also feed the Gujarat market for localization. And lastly, we are also working on putting up capacity for specialty tubes, wherein we believe that 300,000-400,000 ton of multiple product categories can be created over the next 2 to 3 years in non-structural space. On balance sheet front, we are net cash and our working capital days remain prudent in single digit. By end of FY26, we shall be sitting on much larger cash surplus what you see today. And lastly, proud to tell you that we have achieved, our plants have achieved 72% of power consumption based on renewable energy, which states our heavy commitments to our ESG goals, and we target to take this contribution from renewable energy to 80-85% over the next 2-3 years, and this not only helps us in meeting our ESG targets but also reduces the overall power cost for the company, which right now is 0.8% of the product value. It continues to go down, and it gets aligned with our cost optimization strategy. Amit, that's all from our side. We are open to take questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is regarding, you know, the slowdown that you mentioned in your opening remarks appears to be transient. But how is the competition brewing up, particularly from your peers and in the general structure category, if you can highlight that? And do you see this payables buildup largely because, possibly because of your cash strain on your dealers, essentially? So do you see it going away in H2? So just wanted your thoughts around the same.
So see, I mean, if you look at our general category, okay, we mentioned this general category because earlier we were making EBITDA spreads below 2,000 rupees a ton, right? Now it's been two quarters that the EBITDA spreads are near about 2,800 rupees a ton, right? So we are able to increase our margins by almost 1,000 rupees a ton in the last 6 months. So it's no more commodity, right? And you can see that the volume also, it has not declined in last 6 months. So the market has absorbed this price hike, right? And in next few quarters, you will see that this general doesn't remain general, okay? Because everything is making superior margins. So this suggests that there is no competition in this space, even when we have increased our pricing. And this general also takes account of products manufactured in Dubai, right? Because this is as per the sizes, correct? And in Dubai, at the same size, we also make 4,500 rupees per ton EBITDA spread, right? So I think, as a strategy of decommoditization, we are pretty much on track. And whatever we are producing in range of 50 by 50 to 100 by 100 mm range, APL Apollo has created its own niche, own brand in this segment. The competition is playing almost now 3,000 rupees per ton below pricing levels, right? So we don't feel the heat from the competitors at this price point. And on second question, you talked about payable days, right?
Yes.
No, so payable days are not related to the stress at the dealer level. If you see our receivable days, it remains unchanged quarter on quarter basis. Creditors, of course, have come down because we generated cash, right? So we just kind of like, you know, paid two steel mills in advance, right? And we did get some benefit also on cash purchases.
Okay, fine. The second question is essentially on the employee cost. So you mentioned that there was a one-time impact of ESU. So possible to quantify that, and what could be the sustainable employee cost? Also, is there any element of dealer incentives in the other expenses?
Right, so that notional ESOP cost was 6 crore rupees, right? Going forward, you can assume 87-88 crores to be the sustainable quarterly employee cost, which should come around eventually 600 to 700 rupees per ton. Right now, you would see it at 800-900 rupees a ton, but the absolute employee cost will not go up from current level, and it will settle around 600-700 rupees a ton.
Okay, and dealer incentives, any element in this quarter?
No. So no discounting, nothing.
Okay, thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question regarding your 10 to 15% volume guidance. Even if you look at currently, since the last year, second half was heavy, our asking rate is still closer to 900 KT or more. So, and you talked about the slowdown, which usually takes time to reverse. So just wanted to understand then, which are the pockets from where we are generating this confidence of meeting that 15% kind of the volume guidance?
Vikas.
Hello.
I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. There are two, three areas, right, from where we will get the volume. Number one is our exports and Middle East, right, which slightly got impacted in month of July due to the war, right? So that volume will recover in quarter two. We have already started seeing that from July, right? That is one big pocket where we are getting incremental volumes. Number two is our two new product lines got started, right, which will contribute in the next 7 to 8 months. Number one is the 1,000 by 1,000 heavy structural tube, right, with capacity of almost 100,000 tons. And second, in rust-proof tubes, right, that also 300,000 ton of capacity has come up. That will give incremental volume because we are already running short of capacities in that segment. And thirdly, see, I mean, second half normally is always skewed over H1 for the construction material sector, right? Assuming that we are over with monsoons by August, September, right, it will give a very good runway for projects to take off, right, in the third quarter. And in Q4, the focus areas from the government side, whether it is Indian Railways, where a lot of our product is going, or whether it is aviation, again, a lot of our products go there, right? Healthcare infrastructure, right? And then private real estate, private infrastructure, which comprises of warehousing, new factories from the corporates, right? So we expect a lot of activity within the economy to pick up, right? And we are present in all these segments. And lastly, which has not done well for the last 2 years now, Vikas, is the retail side, right, which comprises almost 50-60% of our sales. I'm talking about independent homes, right? Now, with inflation coming down and interest rates coming down, at some point, discretionary spending will also kick off, right? And people will go for home renovation, home improvement, right? And our distribution network, our product portfolio, our innovation, our innovative products, everything will fall into place once we see pickup in that segment also. So I guess there are multiple levers, Vikas, which can give this asking run rate over the next three quarters. Of course, second quarter will remain soft, right, as far as July is concerned. But yes, a lot of skewness will come in the last 6 months of the financial year. Assuming macro does not worsen from here, right? Macro doesn't worsen from here.
Noted. Noted. My second question pertains to our capital allocation. This has come in the past as well. Our CapEx requirement and working capital requirement is far below than the cash we are generating. So how should we look at the excess cash in terms of dividends you would distribute, or what would we do with that cash? If you could just throw some light on the CapEx, capital allocation.
So Amit, so there are two things, right? One is that if I generate $100 of EBITDA, okay, my operating cash flow will be similar, right, $9,500. So we have created four buckets, okay, of $25 each. Number one will go for serving tax, which will go to the government, first bucket. Second bucket will go into CapEx. We are a growth-oriented company, right? We are looking for newer geographies, newer areas, newer products, right? So 20%, 25% of our cash flow, we want to spend on CapEx. Third bucket of 25% is shareholder reward in form of dividend or buyback, right? It will depend on the board and shareholder approvals, right? But yes, we do want to distribute more dividends or go for buyback, right? And the last bucket, which is 25%, that is we are keeping as a buffer which gets added onto our balance sheet, and we repay our liabilities, right? So if you see that in Q1 also, our current liabilities, which are payables, creditors, are reduced by almost 400-500 crore rupees, right? So as we generate more cash, we want to have our balance sheet as totally liability-free. We are debt-free today, but we want to be liability-free. And maybe we buy steel on cash and look for some discounts from the steel mills.
Understood. If I may just ask one more question. See, our sequential, if you see, our value-added product sales has jumped 3 percentage points, and general has also relatively done pretty well. Still, our EBITDA pattern was on the lower side. In past, we have maintained that we have a low fixed cost kind of a thing. We are lean production. So what else we are missing, basically? If you could just give us some more color on that.
So Vikas, I mean, the quarter-on-quarter EBITDA decline was 180 rupees per ton, okay? Now, out of this, employee cost is almost higher by 300 rupees a ton on Q2 basis. So actually, because of better value-added mix, right, our EBITDA spread increased by 100 rupees a ton. If you look at my gross spreads, they also increased by like 400 rupees a ton, right? So if you deduct this 100 rupees per ton of ESOP expense, right, which is notional, one time, and also the reversal in the employee cost, which happened in Q4, right? So my improving gross spreads, right, they are because of my improving product mix and our strategy of demonetization coming into play.
Noted, sir. Thank you for answering the question, and all the best for future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Muskan from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, in Middle East, your sales were at an average of 17,000 per metric ton last quarter. So what is the monthly average sales from Dubai plants now, and how is the demand and pricing situation in Dubai?
So the mix, I mean, the run rate was same, right? It was supposed to go up in July, but because of the tension which came from the geopolitical war, right, the run rate got a bit disturbed. So overall, Dubai contributed 6% to our overall volumes.
Okay. Okay. And how is the demand and pricing situation in Dubai?
Now it's back on track. Things are pretty stable now, and the utilization rates are going up.
Okay, sir. So there has been some delays in commissioning of the HRC capacities in India, which is one of the reasons to keep that is keeping the spreads higher. And when do you expect this to ease out?
I didn't get your question. Come again.
So there has been some delays in commissioning of the HRC capacities in India, which is one of the reasons that is keeping the spreads higher between the HRC and Patra. So when do you expect this to ease out?
See, I mean, commissioning a steel plant is 5-6-year process, right? I mean, delay of 6 months, 1 year is very normal when projects at such large magnitude come online, right? So we expect that in second half, steel supply should increase, right? And then depending on what's the pricing strategy from the steel mills, we'll see how spreads behave. But I mean, when APL Apollo decided to change its strategy to elevate its brand in January 2025, so we were pretty sure that, I mean, now, I mean, our general segment should not fight with Patra, right? And we are confident that within the same segment, we can demonstrate the desired volume growth.
Okay, sir. So in the last call, you mentioned you are charging some premium over general products. So what is the current premium that you are charging over Patra players in general products? and if there is continued increase in spreads between Hitachi and Patra, and also introduction of SG brand, do you expect the EBITDA per metric ton for general products to sustain?
Okay, so coming to first question, that we earlier, when we increased our prices, before that, we were selling, or I would say our competitors who make HR coil-based structural steel tubes, they were selling 1,000-1,500 rupees per ton below APL Apollo pricing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gap is 3,000 rupees after we increase our pricing by 1,000-1,500 rupees a ton, right? Adding to this, that HR coil tube pricing and Patra pricing will always, like, you know, right now the gap is 8,000-10,000 rupees a ton, right? And with us, with Apollo increasing its selling price by 1,500-2,000, so that is 10,000 rupees per ton, and with competition against Patra could be 8,000 rupees a ton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, see, I mean, as a strategy, whether to add products, whether to utilize capacities, right, our business model is to switch away from that general sales, right, which can impact volume, or which suffer because of this gap, which is between Patra and HR coil. We want to move our business model away from this and be consistent with the construction activity in the country.
Okay, sir. Sir, one last question. The SG Mart has won orders of solar module mounting structures under APL Apollo Sunsteel. How is this product different from the products that Apollo is trying to cater to solar industry? Could you please talk about the order wins in solar?
No, so they are very different, right? What Apollo does for solar sector is the manufacturing of torque tubes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or our flat steel, which goes into solar-mounted structures, right? That's like pure manufacturing. What SG Mart is doing is mild processing, profiling-
Mm-hmm.
of solar structures. So both are very, very different products, and they don't, and they have very different applications.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So with HRC prices, you know, softening a little from the month of June, so do you expect any destocking at a distributor level?
Pallav, it's been almost 1.5 years that dealers have been destocking only, right? From October 2023, when we started seeing the decline in steel prices in India, except that 2,000-3,000 rupees per ton uptick, which came in March, April 2025, after the tariffs were imposed. Okay, dealers have been sitting light only, like, you know, since October 2023. So it's not that now that steel prices are again coming off 2,000-3,000 rupees a ton that we will see massive destocking, because dealers are anyway sitting light on inventory since for last 18 months now, consistently.
Okay. Also, you know, you mentioned, you know, this payables we've reduced. So, so how does the, you know, the pricing work with this major steel mills? Like, do they give some credit period or, you know, they insist on, you know, upfront cash payments? So if you could just explain that broadly.
So, Pallav, this is a bit sensitive matter, but what I can tell you is that we have been getting credit from our suppliers, right? As you would see, creditor days of 25, 30 days throughout in our balance sheet. Now, with surplus cash coming in our books, we want to reduce some current liabilities and see if we can get some extra discounts, which we are, but quantum is a bit sensitive to discuss.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my end. We, of course, entered to, you know, H2 demand revival, and we always do that in the building material space. But what's the real change that we're expecting, and how confident are we for that demand pickup, especially on the infrastructure part as well?
So Sneha, two, three factors which give us confidence. Number one is like the critical infrastructure from the government side, whether it is railways, aviation. Okay, these two sectors have not seen any slowdown in the funding. Roadways, of course, but we don't supply to roadways except some footover bridges where our products go for NHAI projects, right? But the critical infrastructure remains the focus area for the government, right? So that gives us a lot of confidence. Then second, private infrastructure, whether it is warehousing and corporate expanding, which are putting up factories. So our structural steel tubes go in both the segments, right? Then another category in private infrastructure is commercial, whether it is like large developers, organized developers adding more A-grade, B-grade office space, data centers which are coming up, right? It requires a lot of steel, structural steel tubes. Then the third segment which we see as a sunlight area is solar, right? So whether it is torque tubes or our flat steel which is going in this segment, we are getting good traction from here as well. So yeah, mix of these segments, Sneha, we believe that second half should be significantly better than first half.
Understood. So secondly, on the the primary and the secondary steel gap, I clearly recall that you telling that things actually worsen when gap hits 10 rupees until 8 rupees, probably USA. We are almost at that level now. Are you seeing demand moving back on the general structure side to Patra players? If yes, or if what is the structural way of dealing with this volatility? Because whenever we see gap reducing, we of course see great amount of volume uptake for your company, but then it always reverses whenever the gap extends. What is the structural way of looking at this gap?
So Sneha, addressing the second part first, right? As a strategy, we are decommoditizing our portfolio, right? So that means we add products such as heavy structural tubes, light structural tubes, coated products, right? Pre-galv, rust-proof products, right? And galvanized products, right? So these are all which don't get impacted from whatever is happening between primary and secondary because the inability of secondary steel to produce such products. Second, moving or increasing sales in Dubai and export markets, right? There also, we don't get impacted from primary, secondary. Sanjay, you want to add to this?
Yeah. Sneha, you have to see there are two types of market in India. One is the primary steel tubes market in India, and number two, the secondary steel market of India. When the gap is more, so हम अपना primary में what we are doing, we are doing well. हम अपना करते रहते हैं, उसी हिसाब से हमारा system चलता रहता है. But when the gap is narrow, so then we enter the market of also the secondary market also. Then this is our we have another advantage. तब हम उस समय बात करते हैं कि जब 20, 20, 30, 40% we can take any type of growth. But if there is a gap between the secondary and primary is too much, then our growth is restricted into near about 15% depending on the market.
Understood, sir. Understood. So I think the change in strategy as for the gap changes, I think that's likely to continue even ahead.
Yeah. When the gap is narrow, then we also then again we go for killing the Patra material. But when the gap is too much, our margin is 3,000. अगर मैं 3,000 का margin खत्म भी करके काम करूंगा, तब भी उसका उतना volume मैं नहीं कम कर सकता. But when the gap is near down by 4,000, 5,000, जो हमेशा रहता है almost, ये ऐसा time बहुत कम आते हैं. मैंने अभी last 1-2 साल से चल रहा है time ऐसा. तो जैसे वो time आएगा, तो then we are going to enter the Patra market again.
Understood, sir. Understood. That was quite helpful. Thanks. Thanks a lot, team, and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, we would like to remind that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. First question is on the sale in Shankara, which you have done in the quarter. Can you just give your thoughts on why that sale happened?
So Anupam, when we had invested in Shankara, right, in March, April of 2022, the idea was to have a small stake, right, to ensure that Shankara starts selling more of APL Apollo products, right. At that point of time, our market share on Shankara counter was like 20-25%, whereas all our distributors of large size were selling 80-90% of Apollo products, right. So we wanted Shankara to sell more of APL Apollo products. So, right, and we identified that the company needed some capital, which we infused, right, and there was this understanding that with this infusion of capital, Shankara will start selling more of APL Apollo products. So in last 3 years now, 3.5 years, the sales on Shankara counter has quadrupled. Okay, now that we have achieved this target, okay, there is no point of holding Shankara shares, right? Anyway, stake was below 10%. So we sold 4.5% last year, and the balance shares we sold in last quarter. So yes, I mean, now the dependence between Shankara and Apollo is high on both of the sides, right? So there is no benefit or advantage of Apollo holding shares of Shankara.
Understand. Okay, and second question is on the general structure's profitability. You mentioned that this 2,700-800 which you are achieving also has the benefits from Dubai, which is, if we assume Dubai is selling almost entirely of general structures, it is a meaningful contribution coming from there. If you exclude that, the India profitability of general structures would not be 2,800 would be closer to about 2,200-2,300 if my calculation is correct.
Anupam, it will be 2,400-2,500 rupees a ton.
Okay. So are you comfortable with that level, or that again comes at risk as this gap is increasing?
No, idea is to take it above 3,000 rupees a ton.
And will that be doable if, let's say, the gap versus Patra continues to expand, which you said is right now at 10 rupees a kg?
So, Anupam, that's what Sanjayji explained, no? That the primary steel market is different, right, which is like 5 million tons, and secondary steel market is another 5 million ton. So, 5 million ton market will... Out of that, say, the general segment is 40% out of that 5 million ton, right? So that will continue to grow at 5 to 10%. If the gap reduces, then the 5 million ton from secondary will come to primary, right? And that's where we will get our incremental volume. But since we don't know when this is going to happen, so there is no point building a business model around it, right? What we focus is on the primary structural steel tube market, which right now is 5 million ton, right? And out of that, almost like 3 million ton is commodity general, and 2-2.5 million ton is value added. So yes, I mean, that's how we build our sales strategy.
Understand. And one last question on the profitability guidance that you gave, 4,600-5,000. Last time you had said, let's say somewhere around 4,900 or so achievable with 20% volume growth. So the 5,000 is understandable. You have increased the range because of lower volume growth. But let's say, does this include the benefit which you are trying to accrue by having lower payable days? Because lower payable days also impacts your ROE in that sense. But does this range include the benefits from better margins due to lower payable days?
Of course, yes. But it... Like, you know, it was just like in the last month of July only, like we could have such cash to lower our payable days. So yes, we are talking to our suppliers. We are talking to our suppliers, right? And if we see the benefit, then yes, we'll continue with the strategy. If we don't see the benefit, then the surplus funds will generate 6-7% of fixed deposit rate.
Right. Okay. Okay. And one last question, sorry, on employee cost, you said the ESOP cost is notional, but your note says that ESOP, no ESOP was granted so far. So has this ESOP, which you have approved in today's board meeting, the notional cost for that has been booked entirely, or will it recur in the following quarter?
No, no. So today board meeting approval is separate. This was for the previous ESOP, which were issued like a year back, year and a half back. They got accrued and they're getting converted. So that's why this notional.
So what you have expense announced today, that will have additional cost in the following quarter?
This is just an approval. We have not decided how much ESOP will be given. I don't think in next 12 months we'll be issuing any ESOPs. And next 12 months, anyways, in next 12 months, any ESOP will be issued. So there is no cost which is expected in next 1-2 years.
Okay. Understand. Thanks a lot.
And yes, and Anupam, just to add to your previous question on the return profile, like you said that if creditor days come down, right, payables go down, so our ROC, our return profile will look low, right? So I think that is the strength of our business model, right? That if we generate cash and we are able to lower our payables and since we churn our inventory 15 times in a year, right, with 20-25 days of inventory, that means I'm churning my inventory 15 times in a year, and whatever cash discount we get, right, from our suppliers, right, we are sure that it will give more return compared to the money lying in the fixed deposit, right? So we are a very ROC focused company, Anupam, right? So whatever we will do, we will ensure that it is ROC accretive, right? Optically, it may look a bit low, right, if you include cash, but if you look at the gross ROC, where you take working capital as inventory plus debtors and you remove creditors, right? So that's how we look at our business model.
Sure. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, sir. Sir, my first question is, there are lots of traction in sectors like data centers, solar, electronics, manufacturing, consumer durables, and these players are doing very heavy capex. So do we supply in any of these sectors, and over the next 2 to 3 years, how much volume growth do we see from these emerging sectors?
So to, if you talk to the large fabrication companies in India, some are listed also, right? These companies are called pre-engineered building companies, PV companies, who take contracts from all these corporates who are expanding massively, right? And why only such companies? Even APL Apollo is putting up 4 plants, right? So yes, Indian corporate is expanding and they are putting up a lot of new facilities, new plants. These large PV companies, they do take a lot of hollow steel sections, a lot of structural steel tubes from APL Apollo, and our market share is 60-70% in this segment. We expect the growth to be 20-25% for the next 3-4 years, particularly for this segment. And that's why on this conviction, we introduced 1000 by 1000 mm diameter pipe, which obviously we are first in India and second in the world to be able to produce such an SPU.
Okay, sir. And sir, what is the current capacity utilization in our Raipur and Dubai plant?
So Dubai plant is around 60% plus, and Raipur is tagged below 60%.
Okay. And sir, earlier we said that we are supplying the steel tube to Indian Railways. So which are the use cases in Indian Railways? Can you please justify?
Indian Railway is all the modernization of railway station which is taking place, right? Maximum railway stations are coming on steel, and that's where we are supplying. We have given list in our presentation also, almost 20-30 railway stations where we are supplying our products which are under modernization.
Okay, sir. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik from White Whale. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yep. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. First question is, why is your EBITDA per ton lower in this quarter compared to last quarter? And the second question is, last quarter you had mentioned that you want to reach ROIC of 35% next quarter next year and 45% the next year. Will it be achievable seeing that trade payables increase? Thank you.
So EBITDA spread decline on QOQ basis is mainly because of increase in the employee cost per ton by 300 rupees per ton. Okay. So employee cost goes up as the volume declined, right? In Q4 we did 850,000 tons. In Q1 we did 794,000 tons. So employee cost goes up, right, which is negative operating leverage. And second was, like I mentioned, was the ESOP expense, which is notional and one time, right? So if we exclude that, we will be at similar EBITDA spreads what we achieved in Q4. Coming to the second question, payable days. See, I think as in at least as businessmen, what we believe is the real ROC, which is based on gross working capital, right? Because creditors also we consider as liability, which we have to repay, right? Like you have liability in form of borrowings from bank. Same way, we consider current liabilities something which you have to pay to our steel suppliers no matter what. Correct? So yes, I mean, optically, 35% will not look on paper if we reduce our payable to zero. Right? But like I said, that will depend on like how much discounts we are getting by making cash payments. Right? It's too early to comment on that. And if at all, like, you know, our investors, shareholders, board suggest that ROC should be 35%, so we can always go back to taking credit again from the steel suppliers, right? So I think it's something which the shareholders and board have to take decision, right, along with the management, like what is good for the company, whether to show optically 35% ROC or to generate more cash if we are able to churn our inventory by 15 times in a year and generate more return than a fixed deposit return of 6-7%.
Yeah, but the fixed deposit, instead of fixed deposit, you always have the opportunity to reinvest, right? Isn't that always the goal of APL Apollo? Okay.
Say it again.
No, instead of the fixed deposit which I mentioned, you always have the opportunity to reinvest back into business. So how is that not a case?
So 25% of our cash flow we are investing in adding capacities anyways, no? And if there is more opportunity, so yes, I mean, we will spend on increasing capacities, or it could be some inorganic growth opportunities, whatever comes our way.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions can press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Neel Shah from Poon Artha Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I would just like to repeat on one of the previous questions. So can I know our EBITDA spread guidance for the current year and also the revenue guidance and the volume growth guidance?
You'll have to come again. There's an echo on your voice.
Hello. Am I audible?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So can I just know the EBITDA spread guidance and the volume growth guidance for this year?
Volume growth guidance is 10-15% for the full year, and EBITDA spread guidance is 4,600 to 5,000 rupees per ton for the full year.
Okay, thank you. And what about the top line?
Top line will depend on how
the
steel prices.
How do you expect the prices to move?
I mean, that's difficult to answer because that's not in our control. So we don't work on like how prices move. What we want to protect is our EBITDA spreads, no matter how steel prices behave.
All right. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Andrey Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I noted that your value-added products were about 61% versus 56 or 58 the previous quarter. What I wanted to know is that if, let's say, if you make a constant volume projection, what is the sensitivity to every percentage increase of value-added product to your EBITDA per ton? So let's say if it goes from 61 to 62, what is the incremental EBITDA per ton that you get? And is there any outlook that you have for your value-added mix proportion?
So Andrey, I guess if you want to see the real benefit of improving sales mix, right, you should look at the gross spreads. Okay, now in Q1, our mix improved versus Q4 last year, right? And you can see that our gross spreads also improved by 400 rupees per ton. But that did not translate in 400 rupees per ton. Yes, my gross spreads, right? But it did not translate into EBITDA spread improvement because my volumes were lower, so there was negative operating leverage came into play, right? And secondly, this ESOP cost, which was notional, right? Now, if I remove that, then I mean, EBITDA should have been much higher compared to Q4 last year. Now, coming to the sensitivity, it is tough to say because APL Apollo has like 5,000 plus SKUs, right? Out of those, 60% are value-added. Now, within value-added also, we have products which generate 4,000 rupees per ton, and then we have products which may generate 15,000 rupees per ton EBITDA also, right?
Right.
So depending on which segment does well in which quarter, right, that's how the spreads will improve. But one thing I can tell you is, as our sales mix continue to improve, our spreads will also improve in the similar pace.
So would you be able to guide us to what this 61% could look for the entire year? What is
I think
61%?
It should remain, yeah, so I think it should remain at similar levels. Our ultimate goal with 7 million ton capacity, which will be live by FY28, we will be 70-75% value added.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Anubhav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Dixit from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Anubhav, just wanted to. I joined a little late, so not sure if you addressed this before I joined. But volume guidance for the year is now 10-15%, which was 20% last quarter. So any reason behind this revision?
Shweta, yes, the earlier guidance was 15-20% growth for the full year. Now it is 10-15%. The reason for downward revision are like number one, slow offtake in H1, right? Because of a macro slowdown. If you look at the government data, like Index of Industrial Production, GDP growth projections, right? Everything is like kind of on softer side, which has also impacted demand for our product. Second, monsoons, which came a bit early in month of June, right? So June month got hit badly. Then third, third was the geopolitical tension which we saw in April when India-Pak war was there, and then in June Iran-Israel war started, right? So that also led to some volume loss. And also if you look at the money supply in the system, that's also a bit slow. So our dealers, stockists, channel partners, they don't have too much of money rotation going on, right? And this is not only for our sector. You look at the other construction material, other consumer related channel partners, they will have the same issues, right? So that's why we kind of revised down our guidance from 15-20% to 10-15% because of the slower offtake in H1.
Understood. And any potential revision if we see a second half to be stronger than we expect, then or is this the final guidance that we could yet at least as of now seeing?
No, why not, Shweta?
Are you also including your view that second half may should be better? So does this include your view on the second half being stronger, or there could be an upside to this number?
I mean, we would love to have upside to this number. As far as we are concerned, we are ready with our capacity. We are ready with our product line. We are ready with our distribution network. We are ready with all the working capital which is required to fund this growth, right? Our brand pull is there in the market. It's just that some external pull comes in, right? And then yes, I mean, if environment supports, right, the growth can be better than 10-15% for the full year. Nothing stops us from achieving higher growth.
Understood. And one last question, if I could squeeze in one more. You said that by 28, you will be ready with a 6.8 million ton of, let's say, production capacity, and but the sales number could likely be 5.8 million tons.
So, so see, it will depend on what is the volume growth we actually achieve in FY26 and then FY27, FY28, how they pan out. When we say 6.8 million ton capacity, that is sellable capacity. That means we can produce and sell that 6.8 million tons from our plants. So this is a sellable capacity.
Okay, I'll take other questions offline. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks a lot for the follow-up. Just two questions from my end. One is, you said you're open to inorganic opportunities. That would be the case. What sort of opportunity in which area that would be? Can we see anything on the secondary pipes also to target that particular market specifically? That's one. Secondly, could you speak on more export opportunities, leaving apart the Dubai part of it, which you're already doing? And which all geographies, you know, can be viable for us?
Hi, Sneha. Good evening. Sneha, we are not going for the secondary any type of acquisition, because secondary steel is no future, because there is a quality is very bad. Number two, their cost of production is very high. But the, in the India, there is steel scarcity, so they are surviving. So I have not a vision ki we are going for the secondary steel, because then we demolish our brand also. Jo humne brand pe itni mehnat ki hai, hamari brand bhi khatam ho jayega. Or the secondary business is not there in own hand. When the HR acquire and the secondary price go to narrow, then the secondary business is wipe off. Mm-hmm. If you see the last 30-40 years history, India ke alawa kahi bhi secondary steel nahi chalta hai. India mein due to steel abhi kam hai, to is karan they are surviving. Just as a steel capacity bad raha hai, I don't think this is a future, a good future. So we are not going for the secondary at all. I am very, very clear in the two things. We are not going for steel making. We are not going for secondary. Number two, the export opportunity. Yeah, there is a very, very good chances for the humko apna export badhane ka bahut acha chance hai, because we have a very good order book in Dubai plant. Now we are also putting a plant in Bhuj for only one focusing export. कि वहाँ से हमारा ये टू एंड फ्रो फ्रेट इज वेरी लेस Right now, if you see in the last 10 days, there is a big change in the Indian steel industry. Today, India is lower than the Chinese steel prices. China is almost increased by steel in the last 10 days 12-13%, and India has decreased almost to 1500 rupees per ton this month. So India, I am very bullish that India's export will also increase, and primary steel will also not come back today. India has a whole market, and I talk about 7 million, 8, 10 million ton. This is also in my focus. But right now, the things are not in good for us. So we are maintaining our margin, going for a little bit 10-15% जो भी हमारा एक वो growth आ जाएगा उसको we are concentrating on that clear. But margin को compromise करके we are not wanted to grow this time because the situation geopolitical or economy is not doing well. तो हम कहीं ना कहीं extend कर देंगे ज़्यादा तेज़ चलेंगे तो we are very confident कि जैसे ही थोड़ा सा भी समय हमारे साथ आएगा we back on track in the aggressive more 20-30% whatever volume growth because we are ready with every sense. So export we are no doubt we are a big vision in the future in the 7 million ton capacity we are targeting to take the Dubai on 1 million ton and India may be 0.5 million ton ka Bhuj mein plant 3.3 to 0.5 million ton in the future laga rahe hain. So export we are very very okay and secondly there is no question. Hamara discussion ka mudda bhi nahi hamare organization mein ki we know this is not a future.
That's really helpful. So thanks a lot and all the best once again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Velikar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just focusing on FY27. So, if we just keep aside the factors which are not in our control, like a geopolitical scenario and all, so you have guided previously that we will grow by 15-20% again in FY27 over FY26. So, are we putting any kind of market penetration or SKU addition, new product development, which gives us some visibility over that growth in FY27?
Yes, of course. Assuming we close FY26 at 10-15%, right, and everything in terms of macro, in terms of geopolitical, in terms of global trade war, all these things settle down along with the Indian consumption starts to revive, right, then FY27 growth could be much higher than 15-20% because of the low base of FY26. Right, like we said that in terms of capacity, in terms of distribution network, in terms of new products which we launch in last 1 to 2 years, new product pipeline which is there in next 2 years, the new segments like renewable energy, like heavy construction where we are adding more products and we are becoming more aggressive, we are penetrating deeper into these industries. Right. So yes, I mean, FY27 could be much higher than 15-20%.
And EBITDA per ton trajectory in that financial year, can we assume it will be north of 5,000 rupees per ton?
See, our ultimate goal is to achieve 5,500 to 6,000 rupees per ton. Right. And on the business model, what we have built for 7 million ton capacity and sales volume eventually, right, this pretty much fits into it. Okay. Now, the question is that FY26, we are saying between 4,600 to 5,000. Let's see how second half pans out, right, if volumes grow faster than what we expect because of operating leverage benefits, it could be near about 5,000 also, right? But very difficult to say right now because of the uncertainty what we have seen in the first 4 months of the current financial year. Next year, FY27 will definitely be better than whatever we close in FY26.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining by. Look forward to see you over the next results earnings call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect the lines.